You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Sutter from MLB.com, here with my friend Steve Gilbert, covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And Steve, I want to start off by eating a little crow, because, and I realize that we have like 6 weeks of the season left, but I remember like reading a quote in one of your stories from Tony La Russa where he said he'd be devastated, the word was devastated, if the Diamondbacks did not finish the season at 500. And I found it kind of funny, number one, because it was just so dramatic the way it just kind of sounded. And another, because I thought there was no chance that the Diamondbacks would even come near 500. And actually, my prediction was that they were going to have a very, very long season. So as we're recording this, they are 56-56. So I just wanted to get that in there right now. This team is a lot better than I expected it to be. Is it better than you expected it to be? Or what did you think when you heard La Russa's comments and how you sort of viewed the season?
Well, you know, I when he said it, that was back in, initially when he said it was back in November of last year, and it seemed a little bit of a stretch, but I thought at the time, boy, if they could get to 500, if they actually did finish at or near 500, that would be a huge step forward for the organization, given the fact that they lost 98 games last year, and it was just a disaster from, you know, start to finish for them. So, I don't know that I can't say that I thought they were going to be 500, or even that they're even going to remain at 500 the rest of the way, but I think if they do, and just the fact of the way they've played so far this year, I think it's definitely a positive sign for the organization. And it seems like as the season's gone on, and I think this is the biggest part, it feels like they've gotten better as the season's gone on. Like there's been improvement. You can see improvement in some of the younger players. You can see them, they dipped five games under 500, but they didn't quit. Now they're back to 500. It just seems like they're getting better as the season goes on, which is a good sign for an organization that's trying to build something around young players.
I mean, I'm looking at the standings, and they're 6.5 games out of first place. And I realize that I don't think any of us think that they're, like, in this race. But, you know, I read, like, every single thing written about every team in the NL West, because I do this podcast every week. And I feel like all I'm doing is reading about the Dodgers and all of their problems, and that their bullpen can't get anybody out, and da da da. And then the Giants, they go to Chicago, they're swept in four games, and obviously they have like records of well above 500. I mean, both teams. So do the D-backs, like, are the Diamondbacks thinking that like they're in this? I mean, I guess they have to think that, right?
Yeah, I think they have to feel that way, but I think, you know, some of the things that they've done have, again, been for the long term. When you look at the fact they traded Oliver Perez, the Astros, it saved them some money that they could, you know, maybe use this winter. They traded Cliff Pennington, again, saved themselves some money, trying to, again, make a push this winter, maybe for a starting pitcher or a closer on the free agent market. So they're still looking towards the future. You know, they didn't give up the farm to try to get somebody at the trade deadline. So from that standpoint, they're not all in for this year. But any team that's going to be run by Tony La Russa is not going to cash in a season or not play hard or not believe they have a chance until they're actually eliminated. So I think they've just kind of quietly been just playing. And we asked Chappell, in fact, today about that. Someone asked him, you know, have you noticed that you're kind of moving up in the standings? And he goes, he laughed and he said, well, that's kind of how it works when you win games for the most part. You start to move up in the standings, but not really looking at that. We're just trying to improve and continue to win games. And wherever we end up is where we end up. That was his answer that he gave us earlier today.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, if you look at at home, they're like two games over 500. On the road, they're two games under. I mean, they're really not that far off from what you would expect, like a legitimate, you know, or so-called contending team. But that being said, I was looking at their upcoming schedule, and it is going to get a little rough just because they have the misfortune to have to play a lot of games against the NL Central, which I think at this point is probably considered the strongest division with the Pirates and the Cardinals. But, you know, anything can happen. So,
and they'll get their chance in September against, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants. So if they want to make a run or if they want to, you know, establish some respect in the division, they'll have to do it head to head against those teams in September.
And when you look at it, I mean, if things aren't improving for either the Dodgers or the Giants, especially the Dodgers, I sort of see them as like maybe playing themselves out of contention. They're 13 games over 500, but it seems like things are getting, a little uncomfortable there. Whereas the Giants, I always feel like they just feel like they can, they can get through anything. But the D-backs would be kind of in an advantage in that they're like, well, what do we have to lose? We weren't supposed to be in this thing anyway.
I think you see that, Allison. I think, I felt that certainly when the team was just in Washington, D.C., and I was with them. It seemed like the Nationals or the Dodgers that have a lot of expectations around them. Being over 500 is not enough, and I think in L.A., they don't consider winning the division enough. They want to win a World Series, and nothing short of that will satisfy that fan base, whereas here in Arizona, I think they're just happy that their team is around 500 and playing interesting baseball to watch. And so I think that does make for less pressure, especially when you have younger players, too, that are just kind of in their first full seasons or second full seasons in the big leagues. They're just enjoying being in the big leagues and playing hard and seeing what happens.
And so while we know that pitching and defense wins championships, it is fun to talk about when a team just goes completely off the rails in a good way offensively. So recently, the Diamondbacks have had some pretty good games. 10 hits in one inning in a recent game. Club records, what was that like to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it all came together for them in those couple games against the Phillies. And I think that's what they feel like this offense could be when Goldschmidt's hitting. David Peralta has been just outstanding for them here in the second half of the season. Tomas sometimes gets into the act. And I tell you, we talked about that. I know it's your favorite subject, the catching situation here. Wellington Castillo has become like a folk hero here in Arizona with, 13 home runs since coming over. And just when the offense gets clicking like that, that's what they feel like they're capable of doing. Obviously not doing that on a consistent basis, but putting up big numbers and supporting a pitching staff that is still somewhat unproven, especially in the starting rotation.
It's funny because when you look at the beginning of the season and that there was the crowded outfield situation, which was forcing Tomas to third base, which didn't go so well. But now it's kind of being touted as something really good for this team, that there's four everyday outfielders, and Tomas even made mention that he feels like, he hasn't worn down at all with this longer season. He's not affected by it because he just has gotten, proper rest. He's been able to pace himself. When you look forward, I mean, how would this shake out beyond the season, and is that really anything that anybody should be thinking about?
Well, it certainly does give them some depth if they choose to trade from it. But I also think that you're talking about guys like Peralta and Enciarte who are still under club control and very reasonably priced. AJ Pollock, I believe, will be arbitration eligible, so he's going to get a raise. And Tomas is under contract as well, so you know what he's going to make. So it's a very cost-controlled, outfield that you could carry those four guys if you wanted to and have the kind of depth, which I think we're seeing is becoming more and more important in baseball these days, particularly with, the drug testing that's going on these days with the lack of stimulants being allowed in baseball and the tough schedule and the travel that these guys face. Having depth is become certainly a must to have in the big leagues.
Well, excellent point. I just want to end this on quickly going over Randy Johnson's retirement ceremony. We recently had, back in May, we went over to Austin and did a special on Randy Johnson and Geddy Lee from Rush with this kindred spirits that these guys are and this friendship that they have and that he has with the whole band. And he's also a photographer for them at a lot of their concerts. So his reaction to this Neil Peart 30th anniversary drum set that he was presented with, I mean, was so genuine and so off the charts because, he's more into, Geddy Lee said, he's more into music than his music friends are. I mean, Randy Johnson is hardcore and he has a collection that Geddy Lee couldn't believe. So Randy just looked completely overwhelmed by being presented this drum set.
It was, it's one of those things where what do you get the man that has everything or can afford just about anything? And the answer is something so unique and special that they came up with that and his reaction was genuine. He was so excited afterwards when he met with the media. That was what he wanted to talk about, was he didn't know how it was going to fit, but he was willing to move all his furniture out of his den if that's what it took to fit that kit, that drum set in there. So we asked him, well, were you surprised? He said, I had no idea. What do you think was behind that curtain? And he said, you know, he thought maybe it was, some kind of sculpture or some kind of something. And, he had no idea. And that was a really big moment for him.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I love that. I love seeing the emotion from him, because as we know, that is not an everyday occurrence for Mr. Randy Johnson. So, anyway, thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Allison, always my pleasure.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.